Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line, presented in part by St. Luke's Hospital, St. Louis's number one heart hospital, on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. We've got Jacob Sersosimo. He is going to be joining us in just a moment or so. And you never really know what we're going to talk about with Jacob. Always enjoy our conversations. So he's going to be with us coming up, part of the sports team over at First Alert 4. And we can talk tennis. We can always talk tennis with Jacob, but we'll talk through some of what's going on with the Cardinals and a few other things before we get out of here with them. We'll have our community spotlight interview also coming up later on this hour, and we'll be back with you tomorrow as well because the Cardinals play a day game tomorrow, so three straight days of Sports Open Line, and today is day number two of that three-day streak. Let's go to the Quiver River Electric guest line right now and welcome in our good friend. You see him on First Alert for part of the sports team over there. He is Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, always appreciate the time. How are you?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm all right. When I first asked you to come on today, I said earlier, because I don't know what nights you work the desk, did you have a solid 620 sportscast tonight over on the Channel 4?
Yeah, great 620 hit today. We talked about the Cardinals' mindset as they're kind of in, you know, the playoff hunt still. And then, of course, we have extra time tonight at 645. So that's our All Things City FC show. Had a nice little sit down with Alex Matan that Tamar shared it. So yeah, busy 6 to 7, but it's 7:05, which means it's sports open line time.
There you go. Let's do it. What do you make of the Cardinals winning now three straight series coming out of the deadline? They just took 2 out of 3 from a good Philadelphia team, and they're right there. They're right where they need to be to remain in a playoff contention.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like I think it's good for this team. I think the most important part of this whole thing is that guys like J.J. Weatherholt and Mason Wynn and Jordan Walker and their pitchers like Kyle Leahy and Pallante and McGreevy get a taste of what it's like to play meaningful baseball. Part of the interviews on Wednesday when the team left town after their series win against the Phillies was them being able to play meaningful baseball in August. And I don't know how many people would have told you this team would be playing meaningful baseball this late in the season if we talked to them back in February or March. But the fact of the matter is they are playing games that matter. And whether they make the postseason or not this year, so be it. But I think the most important thing is this team is learning what it's like to not play throwaway games at this point in the season, and how every single at-bat and every single ground ball and fly ball and every single game matters, because you can look at the standings every single day and you go up and down. This isn't a team that's way out of it. And if they were, it's hard sometimes to play baseball when you're not playing meaningful baseball. And so this team gets to show up to the ballpark every day with something on the line. They get to play every day with something on the line. Whether they make the postseason or not, who knows? They're not really built for a postseason run, but they get to feel what that's like. So in the next few years, when they actually are expected to win at this time of year, they've already had this feeling before, and they know how to react when they have it.
You're there. We get our 50 or so minutes every day of clubhouse time, and that doesn't tell the whole story, and we don't know what's going on there when we're not allowed in there. But to me, it doesn't feel like the vibes have changed much as the year has gone along. And in previous year, last year, the vibes changed. It felt like a different room. And yeah, it ebbs and flows a little bit with how the team is playing, but it just seems like it's been a pretty steady feeling inside that clubhouse.
And I think it's because the direction is clear. Last year, they have a Hall of Famer in Nolan Arenado on the roster, and they still have Brendan Donovan on the roster, and Willis Contreras and Sonny Gray, and maybe they're expected to do a little bit more than what they were on paper. This year, the direction's clear. Chaim Bloom's in charge. Are you playing for this season? No, not really. You're playing so that you're really good in the next handful of years. Does that mean you lose this season? Not a chance. This team still wants to win every single day. But what you're trying to do is come into the ballpark and you're trying to do every single little thing right every single day and hoping that the results follow. I just still remember early on in the season when they went on like this really good stretch where they won a bunch of games and they didn't lose a lot of games. And this was like late April, maybe touching May, somewhere in there. And someone asked Ollie Marmol about it before they went on a road trip. And he's like, I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to what our record is over the last, 3 weeks or so. Like, I've been so focused on the day-to-day and what this team is doing. Can, you know, if we win yesterday or if we lose, can we flush that and move on to this day? And that's what they've been doing really well. Fast forward to August, I think the mentality is still the exact same. The expectations are still the exact same. No one thinks they can do anything, but inside the clubhouse, they just want to win every day and win every moment of every day, and it seems like they're doing that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Ali is doing especially well this year is they are trying to serve two gods in the sense that when it's not 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., a lot of the focus is on building culture and making players better and trying to do things that's going to make this team better next year and in 28 and 29 and so on and so forth. So that's where so much of the focus is on, the way the roster's been built. But when that first pitch is thrown, they want to win those games, and they've won those games a lot. And just being able to navigate those two things and to win as much as they've won, even though maybe that has not been the top focus for the year, I think that's an impressive thing they've been able to pull off.
Yeah, and I think Ollie's kind of in a tough position, and I'm not saying the Cardinals put him in a tough position or the players or any of that. It's just, you know, managing baseball is hard, especially when you have to, like you said, kind of serve two gods at this point. I think Ollie probably said it best on the Gas House Gang on Tuesday when he joined you guys, and Chris Ranji asked about it. Like, how do you manage in the Jimmy Crooks position on Monday night, you know, wanting to give him that experience, but also maybe pinch hitting for him in that situation, maybe Torres or doing something else in that situation. And he's like, I'm very much thinking about the opportunity for Jimmy Crooks in that instance, but I'm also thinking about winning the game. And he kind of goes into his own brain of like how he manages that. And that's got to be extremely difficult. You look at like other managers around the league, they just have to focus on winning. Like, that's all they have to focus on. They either have to focus on winning or their team is, like, really, really bad and they're in a really, really big rebuild. And they're just strictly focusing on rebuilding. They don't care about wins or losses. Well, in a rebuild year, the Cardinals still kind of care about wins and losses, and so do their fans. And so he's navigating that part of it and still trying to get these guys opportunities. So next year and the year after that and the year after that, when expectations are a bit higher and they're expected – to at least, you know, have a cup of coffee in the postseason or at least make some sort of a run, they're ready for that. And I think, honestly, this year, he's done a pretty good job of navigating both of those. Luckily, I don't want to say luckily because I work for it, but, like, fortunately, he's had guys step up in big instances this year where it kind of alleviates that pressure sometimes. But, yeah, this team has definitely exceeded expectations, and I think manager Ollie Marmol has done a good job of navigating both of those aisles.
If you had the final decision power, a combined Oliver Marmol, Heim Bloom decision-making power, what would you do with Matthew Liberatore?
I think you keep him there. You've been clear about the path that you're going. And I think Ollie – I'm going to reference the Gas House Gang again. I think Ollie said it once on the Gas House Gang a few weeks ago when he said, like, where Libby's at, he can't – like, it doesn't really serve him to go to AAA. And I understand that you have, like, a guy like Quinn Matthews or Dobbins, and you've already gotten rid of one of your pitchers in Dustin May. I think these guys are here to figure out the big leagues this year. Now, unless it gets to a point where it's detrimental to him, which, are we there? I don't know. That kind of is up for them to decide. But if it's not detrimental to him and he has to figure out how to navigate these waters, leave them there. I know fans might be mad, but, like, you've already committed to this. You've already committed to this year. I don't see the problem in that at all. I don't see a problem in leaving him there at all.
By the way, we love the fact that you are such a loyal listener to KMOX that you can reference two separate Ollie Marmol Gas House Game cuts.
Matt, you know this about me, Matt.
I do. I hear from you every day about, you know, something that Chris and Amy said. It's not just the sports stuff. You are locked into KMOX at all times, seemingly.
I'm a radio listener. My Spotify stays on my phone. I'm a radio. When I'm in the car, I'm listening to the radio.
Okay.
And more than likely, I'm listening to KMOX.
That's what we like to hear. I told you this. I've been trying to get you on, but it seems like you go on Chris and Amy so often. It's like, I need to wait. It's finally been a little bit since you've been on with Chris and Amy, so I scooped you up real quick here.
Yeah, there must have been a lot of politics going on or something they got to talk about.
Yeah,
you know?
Backroom negotiations going on.
They're talking about maybe a golf cheater in town at some point. You know, they got things to talk about. Sports, Matt Pauly, I got you.
Okay, we're glad. We ask you about tennis before I get. I was just looking. It's kind of anything I should be asking you. Tennis, why I saw the Coco Gauff, she ended up losing in the Toronto semis. What's tickling your fancy right now when it comes to the world of tennis?
Finals tonight, Canadian Open. Yeah. The women's final just got done. I believe the men's final is here. Nakashima, who is an American, Brandon Nakashima out of California, is going to play Ben Shelton. Ben Shelton's going for a second straight Canadian Open final, which is a Masters 1000, which is right under Grand Slam. So that would be huge for Ben Shelton to win back-to-back. Cincinnati just started, so these players go from Canada to Cincinnati and then about a week off and then the U.S. Open. So the summer gets slow after Wimbledon. Right now, it's full steam ahead. It's the pedal's already fully on the ground. We're full steam ahead. We have Canadian Open kind of ends today, and then you have Cincinnati starting up this week, which is another massive tournament, Masters 1000. And then before you know it, we'll be watching tennis in New York for the U.S. Open. So yeah, we just got a couple week push here, about a month. And then tennis really slows down because all the Grand Slams are done.
Who's the American right now who's going to be the next big thing?
It's got to be Ben Shelton. Taylor Fritz has kind of had his opportunities, and Taylor Fritz is still an outstanding tennis player. But I think if anybody in the game right now is to be the first person since Andy Roddick in 2003 on the men's side, an American, to win a Grand Slam, I believe it's going to be Ben Shelton. He's won the NCAAs. He's a really good player. I believe he's a top 5, 6, 7 player in the world right now. If he can figure out consistencies on his ground strokes, which his dad is his coach and can figure that out, his serve is enormous. He's got the star power and he loves the big moments. He can do it.
Age 23, what do you view, like, we know for like baseball, when you're 29, 28, 27, that's kind of your prime. When it comes to tennis, what age do you think tends to be the prime age?
Well, right now it's a young man's game. Like Novak Djokovic is almost aged out of it, and then you have Alexander Zverev in the middle of it, but all the Grand Slam winners are coming from the young guys, with Jannik Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz are so young. I think if you can figure out the mental side of it, being under 25 is a masterpiece. Like, you are ready for success. But tennis, its longevity and where your prime is can last like a decade. We saw that with Roger, we saw that with Rafa, we saw that with Novak Djokovic. It even lasted longer for those guys. But Alexander Zverev has been a mainstay on tour, made finals and semifinals for pretty much a decade now, and at the age of, I believe, 29, he wins his first Grand Slam title. So it can be a long time. You have to navigate the schedule a little differently as you get older, but make no mistake about it. These guys can win 7 matches, best out of 5, and it doesn't really matter what age they are. But in Ben Shelton's case, get that consistency and that mental capability a little bit better, I think he can be the next American to win a slam.
Very good. He is Jacob Sirsasimo. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert 4. We always appreciate the time, Jacob. We'll do this again very soon as long as Chris and Amy allow me to.
Oh, I would love it. Thanks, Matt Pauly.
You bet. Jacob Sirsasimo joining us on the show. Let's take a break. We'll come back in just a moment right here on KMOX. All right, back at it on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. This could be another little bit of a quick segment as we love doing our community spotlight interviews where we focus in on a cool organization that use, whether it's athletics or fitness or something like that, to be able to make the world a better place. So that's going to be coming up in our next segment. We're going to focus in on the Fit and Food Connection. They're doing some really cool things in North City and North County. So that's going to be coming up in just a moment. A reminder for you, Cardinals baseball tomorrow, it is a day game. And not only is it a day game, there's going to be some people, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. Matthew Rocchio's looking at me. Tomorrow is an Apple game. It is an Apple TV game. But you know what? That just means more people listening on KMOX. You know it, Matt.
I thought you were being mean about Matthew Libertor.
No. I just know that anytime a game is on Apple TV, People are really they feel like they're being pushed out from the from those broadcasts because
it's a great looking broadcast.
It is.
I know people are bothered by it. It's a great looking broadcast.
It is.
It's set up so well.
I mean, I miss when you don't have your local broadcasters, and I get that. I understand people buy the Cardinal TV package and they feel like they should have access to every single game. I'm not trying to run away from any of that. We've had that conversation enough times that I don't want to have it again. But yeah, tomorrow is Apple TV. But don't worry, you got your guys. You got the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, Mike Claiborne. They are all at Wrigley Field, and they're going to be doing the games all weekend long. So you'll be able to hear them right here on KMOX. Let's take a break. More in a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Matt Pauly continuing to take you till 8 o'clock tonight. No Cardinals baseball this evening. No Cardinals baseball tomorrow evening either. They're going to play a day game tomorrow afternoon, which means we'll have a full Graybar Sports Open Line tomorrow night as well. Three straight days of Sports Open Line here on KMOX in the middle of the baseball season. That's rare, even in the offseason when we have things like sometimes Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Billikens basketball, who knows what else we might have. Pretty rare to have three straight nights, but here we are. Let's go. Three straight nights of a Graybar Sports Open Line. One of my favorite things we do every week, it is our Building Community feature, Building Community with BC Bank Beyond the Game. What we do each week is we talk with someone or we talk with people representing an organization that's impacting the community in a positive way and doing it through some sort of sports connection, athletics connection, fitness connection, something in there. So there is an organization called the Fit and Food Connection. And what they do two things. They serve people, mostly in North City, North County, people who are in food deserts and also fitness deserts. Now, maybe we've heard about food deserts, the idea that there are areas where there just are not grocery stores, not good produce, things like that. And it's really hard to get nutritious food in certain parts, especially if you don't have the correct type of transportation. And that's a real thing. And you hear about it a lot. And a lot of people are working to fix that, including the folks at the Fit and Food Connection. That is part of their mission. But also part of their mission is helping people who are in fitness deserts. The idea that there might be areas where there's not a lot of gyms, not a lot of fitness activities, not a lot of sidewalks, not a lot of walkable areas, things like that, that impact people and their ability to have movement. So that's a big thing. That's a really big thing. And with that, we are going to get into our Building Community with Busey Bank Beyond the Game. At Busey Bank, they believe every community project, every volunteer hour, every local initiative starts with people who choose to get involved. Through their partnerships and volunteer programs, they are here to support the communities that we all call home. Busey Bank, building extraordinary together. And we are going to welcome on right now the co-founder and the executive director of the Fit and Food Connection. She is Gabby Cole. Gabby, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here and teach and share a little bit more about what we do at Fit and Food Connection.
Yeah, I mentioned the co-founder, executive director of the program. You're really, really involved. We'll touch on the food desert thing at the end, but I'd never really thought about this. And, you know, when we do these conversations each week, this is a sports show, so we always try to do things that kind of have a sports connection to it. And the idea of fitness deserts, where parts of the community don't have a lot of fitness options, or just parts of the community where maybe people living in the community don't have the resources to be able to do it, you guys fill that void. It's a very cool thing.
Yes. So obviously, you know, when we talk about health and wellness, you instantly think about what you're eating and how that contributes to your overall health. But sometimes we forget about the movement piece and the stress or like the mindfulness piece. And so that fitness is such a big component, and we feel that you can't have one without the other. So a lot of our fitness programs and classes fall underneath our wellness program, which is where we tie the knot between holistic, healthy living for our participants and community members. We primarily work in North City and North County. And so if you, I would say, Google the areas, you can you know, see like maybe there's smaller sidewalks, you see like high traffic, or a lot of speeding, little to no bike lanes or walking lanes. And so we like to provide programming that's flexible throughout the community, outdoors. We have a garden space in the area. And so that helps people be able to move safely and freely in their community and feel good about it. And we partner with, you know, or different organizations around the area to also help us bring, you know, forth like safer communities where people can be outdoors and experience that physical exercise and that movement piece as they're on their health journeys.
I was looking at the website and there's a video of some of the fitness programs that you're going through. Yeah. And just, yeah, some of the people talking about it, you could tell how much it meant to them, A, just to get that experience, but also to be able to do it free of charge, and how they talked about telling their friends and telling other people, hey, you got to come out to do this because it's a lot of fun and you don't have to pay for it.
You know, it's so interesting. Our fitness program, is we do a lot of promotion and marketing, but we do a lot of like community word of mouth. So we like to share more about our programs and our offerings through just like a network system where you share with your resident, you share with your neighbor, you share with your coworker, and come out and be a part of our program. Some of our fitness classes that are super popular are our strength training and kind of like circuit courses. We love to do yoga and stretching, and we kind of like tailor it a little bit. We can do chair yoga for some of our, you know, specific community members who need, you know, like those adjustments. But those are kind of our main things. We used to have this tennis course that we offered every summer, but now we do like walking in our communities and spend a lot of time outdoors in nature.
What motivated you to have that as part of the component of it? Because again, food deserts, that is something that is in the news all the time. Yeah. But to bring this part of it, where did that idea come from? What motivated you to make that part of the program?
You know what? I will be super honest. My co-founder, Joy Milner, she actually is like this fitness lover. Like, and we started the organization some time ago. And so she brought that like physical exercise piece, and I brought the food piece together. And just on my journey of being an advocate for healthy living, I wanted myself and our team to really encompass what that means. And so physical exercise, we, from our own experiences, we realized you can eat healthy all day, but if you're stressed and you're not moving, you still can experience different forms of chronic disease and mental health. And so we wanted to make sure that was in there. We would talk to people in the community in that, how often do you move? How often do you work out? Do you know how to use the equipment in your, you know, living building? And a lot of the answers were no. And occasionally, you know, and I'm more so focused on food. And so we want to make like that, we want to like put these like physical exercise and this movement piece in front of people so they just can't run from it. And once they kind of get a taste of it and they start to be more active, it's almost addictive and it changes people's makeup and body internally and externally. And it just kind of, you know, brings more and more of the community along the path.
It struck me, there was a woman on that video that I watched and she said her goal was to get off blood pressure medicine. And so that's what she's using. That's a really like real world, real impact, making people's lives better for the rest of their life type of thing.
Yeah. A lot of our community members experience chronic disease. So those are those like blood diseases where it's like diabetes, hypertension. And so we do a lot of our work and efforts to support that. And so when people come in just for food, okay, you're going to get healthy food and you're going to get, you know, the instructions and the support on how to, you know, consume it. But on the other hand, you have to be physically active. You have to have some form of movement. And a lot of times people have to do like go outside, but you know, how do I do that if we don't have a sidewalk or, you know, the streets are like high traffic areas. And so we kind of come into the space and share like how you can do that within your own space. And people see results, like whether it's 6 months to a year or years of being on a program, just the behavior changes and the lifestyle management of those different diseases. We have seen so many things from our community members, and it's amazing.
I have to think it's also an opportunity for these individuals that I don't know what's going on in all their lives. Everybody has a lot going on, but there's probably a lot of individuals who this half hour, this hour, whatever it might be, this is the opportunity for them to get away from some of the not so great stuff in their life and just be able to do something that's very healthy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we just encourage like little small things can turn into big things. So whether you, you know, take in the stairs versus the elevator, parking further away at the grocery store, at your office, doing it with a friend. We have our meetings where we go for walks or we meet in our garden or we do like, you know, group activities that are physically active. And so these are all ways that you can, you know, go into your community and practice some of the same things, but also come into ours and be a part of, you know, our solutions to provide these resources around physical exercise.
Before I let you go, I did want to real quickly just kind of touch on the other side of it, because the food, the food desert thing is it's a thing for sure. It's a real problem in parts of communities in St. Louis and all over the country for that matter, where people just do not have access to healthy food. Yeah. Maybe you walk into a store and the produce section is just absolutely terrible. You guys are working hard to help with that problem as well.
We are. We do a lot of collaboration because co-founding the work in what the actual issue is much bigger than fit and food. And so we like to collaborate to put a bigger dent in solving some of these issues around our food systems and people being able to have access to healthy items and choices and understanding how to, you know, prepare and cook and use those and even grow them at home. I'm teaching a class in a couple hours on, you know, growing food at home. So we want to come up with sustainable solutions because what we're seeing is that there's limited, like when disaster happens or there's a change in, you know, a policy, we have nowhere to turn. And so we're trying to, you know, figure out and combat those through our food access program where we deliver healthy groceries in partnership with a bunch of local farmers and growers and get people healthy food to their doorstep, because transportation and healthy food kind of have been our biggest feedback from community.
I'm always impressed by the nonprofit organizations that are really lean and mean and get the most out of every dollar. Uh-huh. And I was looking at your website, and $5 a month for supports one group nutrition seminar for 20 people. $50 a month supports feeding a family of four for a full year. That's pretty remarkable what you guys are able to do with not a ton of money, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's fair. And we're starting to see, like, obviously it used to be less than, we used to like, you know, want, you know, $2 or $3 a month, or like, I think our highest was like $50. And so some of those numbers have changed, but not drastically. And so I think it's because we have a model of sustainability and we want to reach a ton of people, but we also want to have greater impact and behavior change. And so if that is, you know, I think we're at like 400, almost 500 individuals a month. If we can bring all of our resources together, donating in kind and like financial investment from community, we can do a lot of things. But we always want to build capacity and we always want to like expand this model, because we want to center health and well-being all the time, just as an organization and in the movement in general.
The website is fitandfoodconnection.org. If people are looking to this and want to get involved, there's a donate button right there. What else are you looking for? Obviously, I know money always helps, but what else are you looking for from people?
Money always makes the world go round, right?
Yeah.
We have our tickets are going live for our annual Farm to Table, which is our annual fundraiser and gathering. Those tickets go live Monday, August 17th. And so purchase tickets. Sponsor, we've got some sponsors out. We got some pretty cool things happening this year. We host that in our garden and we have all local food, local vendors, and local dessert and music. So come out, see us in person, see the real deal, see how we, you know, come together as a community, residents, groups, and just make things happen.
Gabby Cole, she is the co-founder and the executive director of the Fit and Food Connection. Again, fitandfoodconnection.org, fitandfoodconnection.org. Gabby, thank you so much, first off, for taking
thank
the time,
you.
But also for everything you and everybody involved in your organization does. It's a very, very cool thing.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me again.
That is Gabby Cole, the website fitandfoodconnection.org, fitandfoodconnection.org. Multiple ways to get involved, like I was talking about just a few moments ago. They are very, very good at stretching the dollar, always looking for volunteers as well. What a cool organization, kind of a two-pronged approach of trying to make sure that people are able to get healthy food, but also that people are able to get out and move a little bit, and that can have a lifelong impact on these individuals that take part in their programs. If you're somebody that maybe a program like that sounds like it would be something that's good for maybe you or your family or somebody you know, again, the website fitandfoodconnection.org, fitandfoodconnection.org. And we really appreciate Gabby Cole, co-founder and executive director of the organization, for joining us today. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. A reminder for you, Cardinals play day baseball tomorrow as they'll be in Chicago. They're already in Chicago. They beat the Cubs to Chicago by a bunch because the Cubs, they wrapped up their series against the Nationals earlier today. Not a very good offensive day for them, but they will be back at it tomorrow. Cardinals-Cubs, Wrigley Field, 1:20 start tomorrow. That means our coverage at 12:25. The pitching matchup tomorrow, Matthew Liberatore will go for the Cardinals. Lefties 5-9 with a 5.15 ERA. Clay Holmes is going to go for the Cubs, one of their players that they recently acquired. He's a right-hander who's 4-5 with a 2.86 ERA. As the Cardinals and Cubs do open up this weekend series, the NL Central right now is interesting for a lot of reasons. And I hate to say it. In many ways right now, it feels like the Cubs are the team that's maybe kind of just the most stable. I'm not predicting they're going to catch the Brewers, but they might. Cubs today, notwithstanding and their offensive issues that they had today, they've been playing some really good baseball coming into today. They've won 8 of their last 10. The Brewers have been struggling, a 3-game losing streak, not scoring a lot of runs. So yeah, could the Cubs win the division and catch the Brewers? Sure, but both those teams are playoff teams. But it feels like there's more stability with the Cubs than there is with the Brewers right now. And I want to be really careful in what I say here, because in no way, shape, or form am I saying the Cardinals are better than the Brewers. They're not. They're 13 games behind Milwaukee right now. That is quite a large space between the two. But if you follow along with anything that's going on in Milwaukee, they're having players only closed door meetings. They're worried about the, it's a very tumultuous point right now for the Brewers. They'll get back on track. They'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay for them. But also, when you look at this division, the Cardinals have a clear path that they're on. They have exceeded expectations this year. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team right now. They're probably not going to be, but I think they will continue to stick around. And then you have the two teams that so many people in the baseball world were choosing as the upstarts, were choosing as the teams that were going to really emerge. And could the Reds and the Pirates outplay the Cardinals the rest of the way and the Cardinals finish out the year in fifth place in the division, last place? Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibility, but I certainly don't expect it. And it is a good reminder of having a path, having a vision, having stability, having all those things, and what it can do for you. The Reds have just been a mess all year. They've not pitched well. They got terrible news earlier today as Hunter Green, who had been pitching pretty well here recently and has as high of a ceiling as just about anybody that they have in the rotation, he's done for the year, and he's going to miss a fair amount of next season, if not all of next season as well, with the Tommy John situation. So they just, after doing what they did last year to find their way into the playoffs, where it felt like they had so much momentum going into this season, it's been more disastrous than good for them. And then you have the Pittsburgh Pirates, who they have a, and I get it, Paul Skeens not having the best season. Paul Skeens maybe isn't a guy who keeps himself in best shape. And I'm not saying you just give guys a free pass, but
How many of us have seen the pictures on social media the last day of Paul Skeens without a shirt on at the beach and people just like taking shots at him? That's what Pirates fans are doing right now. You have a generational kind of guy on your team and you're going to go after him because he doesn't look good with his shirt off at the beach. That's where that organization is at right now. And, you know, part of me wonders, there were some comments that were made by basically the person who does my job for the Pittsburgh Pirates taking some shots at Skeens. And I'm just wondering, is that an organization that is already thinking through what's it going to look like to move on from a Paul Skeens to maybe trade him away? And they're starting to drop seeds, drop nuggets about not being happy about his fitness level, about staying in shape, all of that. Now, two different things here. You can look at Skeens and you can see that he's not pitching especially well and try to figure out what the reason is for all of that. But it just seems like the narratives that have existed about Paul Skeens for really about the last 3 weeks to a month have been very pointed with some venom attached to them. And I feel like there's something going on behind closed doors that those rumblings that we're hearing are maybe being planted from somewhere. Maybe the organization just is not happy with his dedication and that's getting out there and they're using the media to tell that story. That stuff happens. That stuff does happen. And it's so odd because the Pirates cannot get out of their own way. And now you've got this situation where you've got Paul Skeens and the only thing people want to talk about with him right now is whether or not he stays in good enough shape to be effective. And the Pirates are the last place team in the division right now. It's actually pretty remarkable. The Reds roster and the Pirates roster, they're both better rosters than the Cardinals roster, especially when fully healthy. There are things and players that exist on each of those teams that, quite simply, the Cardinals do not have. And I wasn't planning on talking Ollie Marmol here, but I think the world of Terry Francona. I really do. But you give Oliver Marmol some of the resources from a player standpoint that the Reds and the Pirates have and watch what he does with them compared to how they're being utilized now in those places. I'm just saying, I think the Cardinals are on the right end of that equation here at the moment. And I'm not taking shots at either of those managers. Actually, I very much like Terry Francona. I think Kelly is the right guy right now for the Pirates, but there's just organizational stuff that those guys cannot work through. So it's an interesting time right now for the NL Central. And if you're looking for just stability and a vision, I actually don't know if it gets better than where the Cardinals are at. Clearly, the best two teams in the division are the Brewers and the Cubs. Those teams are better than the Cardinals, but it's good to see the path that the Cardinals are on here at the moment. So with the Cardinals and Cubs playing tomorrow, I just thought kind of interesting to take a wider range look at what is actually going on inside of this division and really compare and contrast to what the expectations were when the season got started and everybody and their mother wanted to tell you that the Cardinals were a last place team, that the Cardinals were maybe a 100 loss team. And here we are sitting on August 13th. And the Cardinals have found a way to be above 500 and they've won three series in a row for a first time this year. That is it for the program today. Again, Cardinals baseball tomorrow afternoon from Wrigley. Matthew Liberatore, Clay Holmes, 1:21st pitch, 12:25 for our pregame. We'll have a little bit of a Gas House Gang from 12 o'clock to 12:25 as well. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon for Cardinals baseball here on KMOX. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line.